Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen territories of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of this place, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. My name is Leslie. It has been a really busy time here on Typically Tuesdays, and it's also been really exciting because I've been able to explore a lot about idols in my brain. I've essentially configured the last couple of weeks of the show as a series all about the vast range and diversity that the idol universe has to offer. And we're closing off that series today with an interview that plants us right back to our roots here in Vancouver with a much anticipated conversation with some hometown heroes, I guess. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what happened on Typically Tuesdays right before we embarked on this adventure exploring the Idolverse. So a week before we started this journey, CJSF held our annual on-air fundraising campaign, Fund Drive. Starting on November 3rd to November 9th, we were raising money to help us rise higher and reach further. That was the slogan of our Fund Drive. And since then, we've been calculating our collection of donations. I'm very pleased to share with you that this year, we raised over $8,300 in donations. We raised specifically $8,309.36. And while that hasn't hit the goal of our $10,000 fund, we're genuinely so grateful for how much you showed up to support your favorite local community radio station. It's no small feat at all. It is with your listenership and loving support that we are able to raise this amount of money, and I want to specifically shout out the individuals who donated to Fund Drive by pledging to Typically Tuesdays. So thank you so much to Sasha. Thank you to Paria. Thank you, Samira. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Jesse, Sam, Randy, and Brianne. From the bottom of our hearts here at CJSF, we cannot do this without you. It is your listenership that motivates us to keep bringing you diverse, interesting, engaging, fun, and thought-provoking radio programming. It is with your generous support that we are able to keep doing what we do, now at a greater capacity and at an even better quality. Thank you so much for being a part of CJSF's community. Thank you so much for making us a part of your story. With you, we rise higher, and with you, we reach further. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, we've gotten a little bit of that housekeeping out of the way, so now the floors are sparkly clean. We're going to welcome our guests onto the show just after this PSA. So take a listen to Ducks Canada about what they have to say, and after that, we'll be talking to Nonsuite.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and I'm here with Nonsuite.
Hello, everyone. We are
Nonsuite.
So we are a Japanese pop girl group based here in Vancouver, Canada. We've been around for a few years, and this is our second time, I think, Typically Tuesday. So thank you for having us back again. My name is Jessica. I have a member color. It's electric orange.
My name is Eileen. My member color is mystic purple.
And my name is Nina. Member color is honey yellow.
So you've been taking on a lot of different projects recently, and it's been a very busy couple of months for you all. For the listener who's not familiar with Nonsuite, talk a little bit about what's been going on.
Yeah, so earlier this year, we actually took a little break, and then we redebuted. in August at Otakon, and then since then we've been doing a couple of shows in the US, and then we also performed in Vancouver at Nikkei Matsuri, and then I guess when this show is aired, like, would be last week, we finally dropped our new single, Reset Button.
Yeah, we kind of redebuted as a trio. So yeah, we did take a break, and then finally able to like show everybody the new side of Non-Sweet. In August, we were performing at Otakon in Washington, D.C. That was really fun. Yeah. And we were able to meet so many other fans in the U.S.
Yeah.
And that was really fun to actually like be able to show them the new era of Non-Sweet.
So during our break, we kind of had a lot of meetings.
Yeah, we kind of like group ourselves together again and kind of like go back to what we have really started back in like 2020 when we like all started as a like new group. Mm-hmm. We kind of went through the process of thinking like, oh, what do we want as Non-Sweet? Like, what is our concept? What is our group goal? And what do we want to do in the future? Mm-hmm. And we kind of just like, you know, have multiple meetings, talk about it with each other. And once we have the idea aligned, we started practicing a new set list. Mm-hmm. And starting to prepare for our redebut show.
Yeah, I think like over the years of our activities, we just think that we've kind of grown from our very like beginning like self, and we want to portray ourselves like in a, I guess, like a little bit more mature way. Mm-hmm. Compared to before. So we're challenging like new cooler concept and going back to our roots, like Non-Sweet, like we don't just want to be sweet. So we're trying like some more yeah, like it's like Reset Button. It's like a more,
we want to show like our cool side. We,
yeah,
back in the day we always say like, oh, we are Non-Sweet, we are not just cute. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think like we are cute because we do a lot of like cute
energetic songs.
Yeah. But now we really want to like make sure that our concept is like solidly there.
Yeah.
That's why we challenge something that's like more cool side.
Mm-hmm.
Of the song. Yeah,
for me as somebody who likes female idol groups and stuff, it really follows sort of like the trajectory of like a lot of other female idol groups, right? Where they, though this was not necessarily your purpose, but for many other groups, they debut with something sweeter, cuter, more gentle, maybe more playful. They play with that for a couple of years, and then 3 to 5 years down the line, there's like this shift into something more like elegant, more mature, even more sensual in some ways. So for me, like watching that was, I don't know, I guess like as just a fan of your work, I was really quite curious about what was going to happen. And then to see the new photos and the visual concepts come out was very exciting, because there has also been a big visual shift. Mm-hmm. As well in some ways, instead of it being, what was it, kind of like pink and purple in the past. Yes. Right, lighter kind of like pastel-y colors. Mm-hmm. Now a lot of it is like royal blue, royal purple. Yeah. That type of thing. Well, there's been a lot of like active work that went into preparing for your re-debut, all many months of preparation and many meetings. I'm kind of interested in knowing about like the passive stuff that also went behind doing all of that, right? Like, what did you do to what did you do to like nurture your creativity and your inspirations? You know, I want to know more about like essentially like play and relaxation. Did you spend the whole month just working on, or the whole month just like working on this, or was there a point in time where you could be like, oh, I'm not going to think about this right now, I need to chill, and then that helped you, you know, regain your HP?
This Jessica's is so laughing. Funny.
I feel like this is, I feel like you didn't rest.
No, we didn't. No. We initially, in our very first meeting, we were like, okay, we need to do more like group activities. Like, we need to schedule one fun things per month. We ended up doing nothing like that.
I don't think we did, yeah.
No. Because we were mostly preparing for shows, and practice does take up a lot of time. We were practicing maybe twice a week.
Sometimes three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes three times a week. That's quite a lot. And then on top of that, we have administrative meetings. So that also takes a lot of time. So whatever time we have left, we weren't really able to like do something fun or relaxing as a group collectively. But I guess like during the trips, we kind of scheduled something, some activities.
We tried. Yeah. Like, you know, we will all go to a cafe together and then like, you know, enjoy yummy food and drinks.
Yeah.
That was one really nice break time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then let's say right now, okay, mm-hmm. like right after the interview, you get to do anything you want to as a group, each of you. Like, I want the girls and I to do this. What would that thing be?
Karaoke,
yeah.
Oh, that sounds really fun. I really want to do afternoon tea with everyone.
Yeah. I was going to say karaoke, but Eileen took it first. But I think I want to go... Honestly, I would love to like have people just like come to my house and we can like play like video games together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, yeah.
Are you guys good at Mario Kart?
I'm bad at it.
Oh, I'm bad at it.
Because I never have people to practice with me. We never really like play like Mario Kart together.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right.
That's... I don't even have to game myself.
Yeah. Dude, I don't even drive. I don't know why I was asking that question.
Same,
yeah.
Same. I actually don't drive.
Do either of you drive?
I drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's great. Oh, okay. That's good.
But driving skill don't apply into Mario Kart. You drift. You don't drive on the road.
Yeah, that's true. It would be a lot more dangerous if you were applying like Mario Kart rules to driving, right?
He was throwing out shells mid-driving, like over your window.
Yeah, we would have some felons basically up in the interview if that happened. Yeah, but okay, yeah, I think those are great things to do. I hope you guys get to do it very soon. I know you're usually winter is like your period for like resting, so I hope you're able to do that. Though you do have a show coming up in a couple of months. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. You've been traveling all over to do conventions and such, you know, going to US Idol Fest, but also going to Otakon. And I mean, you even went to Florida for the first time, right? What is it like to, you know, take this period of not performing and then coming back right into the deep end, essentially, to go to all these places that you haven't been before?
Honestly, the first show I came back, like, I feel really rusty, not gonna lie.
Me too. It definitely, like, it definitely feel really rusty, right? Especially, like, at that same day, we know that it's a first show after, like, so many months. And we're seeing, like, what Leslie said just earlier, it was, like, a new crowd, new fan base. And everything that kind of adds up, we definitely feel, like, really nervous than when we have performed before, so that's definitely that.
Yeah, and also like performing on stage is definitely different from practicing in studio. Like, no matter how well you practice it in studio, like the whole, like when you go up on the stage, the whole environment, now that you have all these people in front of you that you need to try to interact with, you have the lights in front of you, you have the speakers, like maybe you're relying on the PA a little bit more, like so many more things that you have to manage compared to practicing in studio. It feels different. But I'm glad that we're back. I really enjoy being on the stage. I feel like after this like intensive summer, I feel a lot better about it. And when I came back to Vancouver, when we do our first show here, I feel like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm definitely feeling more comfortable after like we have a lot more shows beforehand. Like, I think by like US Idol Fest in end of October, I feel like really confident by that. But yeah, before that, it was feeling like, oh, like, I wish I'm doing this right. Like, feeling more of an anxious side.
Yeah.
I'm really interested right now talking a little bit more about Kaiga Idol Pride. Mm-hmm. Because this is, in my brain, actually, I guess, like, one of the other really big projects that you all have been working on. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it started before you re-debuted, but then... Yeah, I mean, it started, I think, February of this year. But this series of events that you've got going on is really exciting and quite impressive to me. For the person who doesn't know what Kaiga Idol Pride is. Can you talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah, Kaiga Idol Pride is a show that we run ourselves because we realize maybe there could be more opportunities for overseas idol, for Kaiga idols to perform. So it's essentially a show that has only Kaiga idols, like, performing back to back to back to back. So it would be very similar to what we call a Taiban in Japan. Yeah. So I think, like, Japanese idols, they often do that at live houses, and they usually have that almost every week.
Yeah, almost every week, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, or even Friday, they will have multiple idol groups come together in one event. Mm-hmm. They'll perform usually about, like, 20 minutes to 25 minutes of set list, mm-hmm. and then they all have, like, a meet and greet right after the show.
It's like a big idol party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If the listener, if you're not familiar already, Taiban kind of is like a music festival. And so an idol Taiban is like an idol music festival. Yeah, it's such an interesting series because there is just the population of idol appreciators in Vancouver is so small, partly mm-hmm. because like our population in Vancouver is just so small. Yeah. And so for me as a attendee to some of these events, KIP and otherwise, mm-hmm. It's been really interesting to see all the different types of venues that the events are held at. It's like KIP, the first KIP, mm-hmm. was held in February at the Kulch, mm-hmm. which is kind of like sort of the center of the underground arts and theater scene in Vancouver.
Yeah,
there are like tattoo parlors all around and stuff. But then like the second KIP was like in the middle of the suburbs, right about when, I don't know how familiar you guys are with Port Coquitlam, but it is basically right at the border of where Port Coquitlam starts to become rural and farmland and woods. So that was something that was like, I really, really like seeing just like, as a kitschy thing, I guess, as like a fun, amusing thing for me. But I can't imagine that it's very easy for you all to organize. Talk a little bit about organizing Kaiga Idol Pride, the series.
Yeah, like what you mentioned about the venue is actually the thing that we probably struggled the most about.
Honestly, yeah, that's like the first thing, but it's also the most difficult thing when we try to organize an event because we wanted to find somewhere that it's suitable for our performance. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we also want to have an all-age venue. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of idol fans can come and see all the idol shows. Mm-hmm. But just these two points actually make it really difficult to find a really good venue.
Yeah, in Vancouver, there are a lot of, because when you think of an idol show, typically a lot of fans would be standing up kind of like a concert. Because they want to do their wotage, they want to cheer for their idols, they want enough room to jump around and like do big movements. But then at the same time, when we want to accommodate like people who are under 19, a lot of these venues that allow underages attendees are not like that. Would be like theater type, and then like people would be sit in like a certain spot, like a chair. We try to look into like venues that a lot of bands would like be playing in, and then they have an open floor like that people could dance in. But then those venues would require, like, they have an age limit, and it would usually require you, if you want to do a show there with underage attendees, you need to buy off the bar, which is like kind of really expensive. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult for us. That's why you see the show being held at like so many odd places.
We're still trying like to find the perfect venue that we want to hold.
Yeah, it's hard in Vancouver, I think, because idol, like I guess like idol culture is like not super popular here. So a lot mm-hmm. of venues are also designed for like bands. They would have like a drum kit there, or like the stage would be really small. Like you can't really have like five people dancing on there would be like really tough. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a struggle, but we make do.
Yeah, we have one of our friends/staff member to help us with that, and she's been doing a really, really amazing job with helping us organizing KIP. Mm-hmm. So shout out to her, Kenzie.
Yeah,
she's not here today, but she's actually the one that's helping us the most when we get to like organizing an event.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kenzie. It's been, you've been doing a really good job. I think it's also like personally my bias would be like it's a good opportunity for people to explore Vancouver and mm-hmm. all the different places, despite how like out of despite how like in the middle of nowhere Port Coquitlam is. Yeah. You know, but yeah. I'm so interested also in knowing about how you curate the sets for KIPP, because the overseas idol scene in general is so diverse. There's like a huge range of concepts and ways of performing. But the first KIPP that you put together focused all on Vancouver music or Vancouver performers. Mm-hmm. There was Cloudtown, Boyer 7, and Estella. Mm-hmm. They're all homegrown in Vancouver. The second one, which happened just a few weeks ago, had some Vancouver representation. Obviously, you were there, and as well, Pretty Zeus was also there. But then you began to dip your toes into international performers as well, like Hinamaki Palettes from Seattle, Meika Oceanus, and Setsuna from Taipei. So talk to me a little bit about what it's like to cast the net for local and international acts when you're curating Gaga Idol Pride.
Mm-hmm. I would say like because this is still our second time hosting the last few weeks one was still our second stage. Mm-hmm. So I would say like we're still definitely exploring like what is the best for the Taiban. Mm-hmm. First one we kind of like start off with like all the local people because we already know them, we like see them at like shows before, and they're a really nice person to work with, so we want to start off with somebody that we are comfortable working with. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really good success.
Yeah, and then the second time around we try not to rebook the same act because we want the show to have like different guests to come on and showcase like different side of like, you know, the idol scene. Mm-hmm. So we figured it's also like a very, I guess, random. This is not random. Random's not a good word, but it's also like a very out of the blue. Like, I feel like we got lucky with the opportunity like that.
We wasn't thinking of having
like overseas guests. Yeah, because to book Meika Oceanus and Setsuna, that was something that we didn't have planned in our minds. But it's they actually like their staff reached out to us and it's like, hey, we know that you're making an event. Would you be interested? And we're like, yeah, that's such a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like we're gonna say yes to this. Mm-hmm. And they're both really great. Like both Setsuna and Meika, they're both really great. And then when we're trying to not rebook the same performers in Vancouver, because Vancouver is so small, there's really not a lot of groups. Mm-hmm. So we try to look to our close friend, Seattle.
Yeah, because we know some, we all know, like, we've been to Seattle, so we know, like, there are also some idols around there that, like, love to perform as well. So we, like, decide to reach out to them. And I would say, like, Seattle to Vancouver, it's still kind of far, but it wasn't too far in terms of, like, oh, you don't have to, like, fly for, like, 10 hours plus to, like, be here. So we're really grateful to have them here as well.
I think we also wanted to, like, introduce, like, the Vancouver fans about, like, the Kaigai idols from other side, like outside of Vancouver. And, like, we also wanted to, like, know more about the fans in Seattle as well.
Yeah. Mm.
So we were hoping for their fans to also come see, like, who we have, like, in Vancouver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Vancouver is great. Vancouver has great performers. And one of the impressions that I got was that the performers of the first KIPP already were kind of like rising stars in their own right, mm-hmm. or they had already been established. And so they formed a very tight-knit, close community within the fandom and also like amongst themselves. But then seeing what was happening at KIPP 2 was also very exciting because, I mean, how often do you get people who are just not from Vancouver performing this very niche type of performance coming out here, right? So that was very cool to see. We're going to listen to some music now. Speaking of performances, this is my favorite song by Nonsuite. And the reason why I'm playing it today is because I can get you all into the room so I can talk to you about this. Guys, I need you to perform Crybaby in Vancouver. I need it to happen. Please, I need to see the fan thorping.
Did we? We did it once.
I don't think we have.
No, we did. We did it at the Summerfest.
I haven't seen it.
After we debut.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yes, we will.
Nina, do it for me, please.
We will definitely.
Do it for Leslie.
Yeah, do it for everybody who listens to Typically Tuesdays, because I play this track a lot. So here's Crybaby by Nonsuite. Enjoy.
Blurred, normal words, breaking all the rules. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Midnight sky, stars align, surrender for the storm. Tonight I will be yours. Tell me that you love me, say it one more time. Stuck inside the twisted daydream in my mind. Holding on to nothing. Wonderland, now that you're here, it's upside down. You're always on my mind. I see the shadows of you all around. Dead of night, paradise. Every time I dream, whoa, whoa, whoa. Getting late, wanna taste the poison from your lips.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie, and I'm here with Nonsuite. We've been talking about all the projects that we've got going on in preparation for the re-debut and also the re-debut. And now we're going to talk a little bit about their latest single, which was released last Friday, called Reset Button. Oh, it's a really great track. I really enjoy it. You know, we've talked so much about the preparation and kind of like the concept of it. But this is, I guess, not your first song fully in Japanese, but it's different because most of your other songs are also in English and also in other languages. Tell me a little bit more about the process of producing this track.
Yeah, for Reset Button, we kind of wanted to, like we said, we wanted to try something new. Our previous songs are mostly very like sweet, bubbly, also on a high range. So this time we tried to make something with like slightly lower range, just because it fits like all three of our vocal ranges a little bit better as well, but also ties into the concept that's like a more cool, elegant type of song. So when we first tried to come up with this song idea, we did find some like song samples that we like, and then we would send it to our producer and he would take a look at it and it's like, okay, yeah, this is the type of song that you guys want to make. So when he first sent us the track, I think we all really liked it already. Yeah,
we all kind of agreed that because what our music producer wrote, like in terms of lyric wise, it's so like
it's a very complicated story that he put in there that it's extremely hard to translate in English.
Mm-hmm. So we decided to just leave it as Japanese.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember the first meeting we had when we had the song. Our music producer, Shin-san, he gave us a 1-hour lecture of what his story is about.
Yeah.
We were in the boardroom and he would like write on the whiteboard to talk about, so this is the story, and then like this is what happened, and we're like, wow, that's a really interesting and intense story.
It could have been an anime, let's just put it that way.
So the story, it's about there's two person. One person was from the older time, like thousands of years ago kind of time, and the other person was actually from the future, like thousands after. So one day they saw each other's reflection through like kind of like mirror or like water.
A body of water, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how they saw each other and fell in love. But then, of course, because they are in a different time, they won't be able to like meet each other. Oh, once also another lore is that the older time, which is like the current time, let's say, it's more peaceful. But then the future time, it's more like there's war going on. Everything is like
apocalyptic.
Yeah. So the person that's in the current world trying really hard to save the person that's in the future world. But of course, you're in a different timeline. You won't be able to reach to them, right? So that's why like in the story, you can kind of see that how this person is like really struggling, like the emotions is like really like frustrated, like I really love you but I cannot like save you. And then he's like trying his best to like rewind time to like redo this like saving progress again and again and again.
That is an anime. Definitely is. Okay, well, I was surprised. I'm very surprised to hear that that was the reason why you left it as Japanese. I just assumed that you were like, I don't know, we're trying something new and stuff. I didn't realize it was because like this kind of story is so is so complex. How can I capture all of the nuances in English?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult in terms of like the like cultural side of things too. Like there are some words that he used that are very like specific and like need a lot of explanation. Mm. So we decided maybe we'll just leave it
as is.
Mm-hmm. That is very fair. Also appreciate the lower range, as you were mentioning. I heard that little growl in there. It was good.
Yay!
It was good, Jessica.
I tried really hard.
Yeah, and now, like, you know, for all of the people who sing in mezzo and alto, now you can have a non-sweet song that you can sing to. That isn't mini game. Because, oh my God, that song is really high. Really, really high register. Talk about karaoke. I'm gonna just like go ahead and make a quick observation that so many of your songs are all about like sad love stories. Are you guys okay?
Hey, those are the dramatic ones, and they're more fun.
Okay. We want drama here at Non-Sweet yeah. World. Okay. All right. I do worry about you guys, but we can talk about that off air. Let's listen to Reset Button now by Non-Sweet, which is their latest single. Here we go.
するはずがない。非科学的な時間軸の中で、これは神様のいたずら？それともバグ？出会うこと自体間違えたって言うの？
Bird note. Mustafa Santiago Ali has been an environmental activist and policymaker for nearly three decades. The work has taught him that people can drive change with art and storytelling, which inspired him to write this poem called "The Birds Been Praying for Us."
They rise before we do, not just early, but wholly.
wings draped in dawn light. They pull songs from the silence like prophets pulling dreams from dust. A cardinal ain't just red for beauty. She bleeds purpose into every sky she touches. They tend the garden we forgot, scattering seeds we too busy to see, pollinating prayers we too proud to speak. Their flight is scripture. If we just read the air, a lesson in letting go, and rising anyway, and trusting the wind to catch what's real. And when they sing, baby, that ain't just music, it's medicine, a sound bath for the soul, reminding us even broken things can build nests and birth miracles. I was thinking about birds and how they are nature's messengers. They do all these amazing things, and they also mirror the health of the planet. And if we remember that interconnectedness, we'll do things differently. I still believe that we will get there one day.
Hear more from Mustafa about art and environmental activism when you listen to Season 7 of Bring Birds Back, available in your favorite podcast app. For Bird Note, I'm Jonice Franklin.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Leslie. You just heard Reset Button by Nonsuite, and I have Nonsuite with me here in the studio right now. You released an accompanying music video alongside Reset Button. How was filming that music video? It's been quite a while since you guys put out a music video.
Yeah, I would say there was a lot of thinking gone through that music video. Like, I have, not just me, like everybody in Nonsuite, we have some visions when we come to like wanted to make this music video, but then like we also have to think about like executing it, like how we do we need to prepare any props, like how are we gonna like make this happen. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like decided, oh, that just go with a little bit more simple concept that just do more dense shot to show like, oh, like the scene could be simple, but then like there's a lot more to it. I want everybody to focus on the song.
Yeah. In the past, we've done like more story intense type of music video, and it's a lot of planning that goes into it, and it's a lot more costly as well. Since we're re-debuting and we're just like kind of restarting, we try to go a little bit more reserved on the budget, but at the same time, we want to put out something that's like good in quality. So we decide to go for something really simple. Mm-hmm. And we try not to use like a lot of props. We're trying to use more like lighting, or like we even film outdoor, which mm-hmm. is like we don't even need to rent a venue for part of it. So that definitely kind of helped with budgeting. And also like Nina said, like showcasing the song a little bit more and maybe the choreography a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And the videographer that we work with this time, he has a lot of idea in terms of like filming stuff like this. Like when we had first meeting, he actually like suggests like, hey, like maybe you guys should do like story scenes and all the stuff, but because we have some like time concern, mm-hmm. we want to make the deadline, so we tell him like, oh, we were just gonna do like dance shots, but then like he also give us some suggestions like, oh, maybe we can like do this and that. And I would say like in the music video, we have scene where that looks like peaceful, kind of like underwater kind of scene. He was the one that like make it happen. We kind of tell them that, oh, we wish like we can have like something like this, and then he's the one that actually executing it, have all the
equipment
ready. Yeah, he brought like what, fog machine and also a projector, all the light to actually make it look like an underwater scene. And I really appreciate that he could make our little dream come true.
Yeah,
and also outdoor shoot was somewhere, we actually choose somewhere that's not under the bridge at the beginning. But because it was raining that day, we decided to go for somewhere else. And then he was the one that found this location, and turns out really nicely. Yeah. Everybody loved that location. They think that it's such a huge, like, it's so dramatic. The lighting was like really epic.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that everything turns out really nice at the end.
It was really cold when we were filming. My outfit has like cutout shoulders. I was literally freezing in the cold. And for context, it's like that bridge is behind a Costco.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really cold and everybody was kind of like all wrapped up with their jacket until the very last moment when we have to like actually film it.
Yeah, there was an abandoned shopping cart next to it, which is like very much a vibe, like very apocalyptic feeling. It didn't make it into the shot, which is fine.
I don't think it should, but
yeah, I know.
I don't want to kill the storyline, but
sponsored by Shoppers Drug Mart. Those scenes under the bridge are really interesting because like the lighting is just like right there, right? Like mm-hmm. it's at night. Yeah. And then it's like red lights.
The red lights we added it.
Okay. Did you also add the wind?
No.
Oh my God.
It was naturally very cold and windy that
day. It was just cold and windy. We were like taking turns into like the hand warmer. Yeah. And then we were like, okay, is it my turn? And we took off all our jacket and we ran in there. Do it twice. And then we were like, okay, next person.
Actually, all the shoot that we took under that bridge, we only took maximum 2 times.
Yeah.
Because it was just so cold that night. Everybody get like, I think one try of the singing shots. And then like any like wide, middle, or closer angle of the dance shot, is we only run it twice.
Oh yeah. My goodness.
For that context, was how cold it was.
Yeah. We filmed this in October, I think. Was it October?
Yes, it was mid-October.
Oh. So think back mid-October Vancouver weather.
Where it's like raining and
windy.
Wet, windy.
Yeah.
Was this one easier than, what was the one that you did? Was it Time Slip?
Time Slip.
You did in winter, that one?
Time Slip was cold because it's next to the water.
Okay, this one is cold because you're in the middle of a storm.
Yes,
like literally. From what I remember, Time Slip was more like windier than the Reset Button shoot.
But it wasn't raining.
It wasn't raining. I think having the rain
definitely
in October, like makes it even more colder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Whoa, the drama is really there. Like everything came into play. You know, Mother Nature was like, we're going to make a great video for Non-Sweet today. Oh my God. Sorry, I'm just reeling from that. Wow, you guys are amazing. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the choreography also then. Choreographing for three people in this new era and with a song that is so intensely emotional and complicated. Tell me more about that, Jessica.
Yeah, I try to... Honestly, it's hard to choreograph for three people, I realize, because I'm so used to having like 5 people and then we can do a lot more formation. But now with three, we can make triangle, circle, and then maybe another triangle.
Or lines.
Or lines, yes. Triangle lines and a circle that kind of looks like triangle. So it's definitely a lot harder blocking wise, but I think I try to make this one a little bit more soft. So you see like the choreography is like a little bit more like Time Slip, like more similar to that sense, like soft, but then there's also like some texture into it, like where it's stronger. And I feel like I threw like very difficult choreo at these two and they've been executing it so well, so I'm really thankful that everything like just came along very well for this one.
Okay, one of the things that like really stood out to me from one of our previous interviews when we talked about Crybaby, you were talking about how Shun-san like had to direct you how to sing in a more sexy, quote unquote, way.
Yeah. Yes.
And this song, because it has this kind of like different feeling, did he have to do any like discussion with you about that, or it just like came naturally?
Actually, he did. Like, we actually re-record the song for multiple times because we're not really satisfied with what we did at the beginning. So at the really first time, like he like kind of like teach us like, oh, for example, that this line I want you to be more loud, like this line I want you to be more strong, like he gave us some like directions on how we would record it. So after we like go back to Canada, we like take that tips that he gave us, and then we like re-record it ourselves as well. So yeah, he did give us like instructions this time, and we find it really, really helpful.
You guys have grown so much since your debut, but also I feel like since even just the last time I saw you all performing, and it's been so amazing to see. Non-Sweet is moving into their 6th year? Is it the sixth year? Fifth year. Yeah. I know when you debuted. I'm really bad at math.
No, so. It's okay. At some point, you start losing track. It's like age too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, I know all the time how old I am. Little rickety bones. The fifth year, right? Moving into your fifth year very soon. Your anniversary is coming up. Yeah. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you've got planned for this next year? Or if you're not able to show us a preview, can you talk a little bit more about the goals that you have planned coming up for 2026?
Yeah, I think definitely for next year, we want to focus more, doing more shows in Vancouver or like even within Canada. Yeah, it's great news for you, Leslie. Yeah, because we just feel like we've been to the U.S.
Quite a long time now, yeah. At least just like this year itself, right? So we want to like make it up to the Vancouver community. Mm-hmm. We want to like, show them what we got as a new era of Not Sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely want to do more shows in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And we also want to, we have some more other like goals in mind that we want to do, that we always said before, that we still want to like go back to Asia and then maybe do like a hometown tour. Hopefully that will happen one day.
Yeah. Not sure if it's like 2026, but hopefully if the opportunity comes by, like we'll definitely try to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I just really missed the Vancouver crowd because the last time we saw them is really KIP 2. Yeah, but not all of them came because there's also another event happening the same day. So mm-hmm. a lot of people were saying like, oh, we actually couldn't make it to your show because of... So we really want to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we miss you guys.
Yeah, but January 4th, we're going to perform at another Taiban called Majiawa. So hopefully we'll see a lot of them there.
Mm.
Yeah,
and that's also another one, just off to the side, that's also another one that has a lot of folks from outside of Vancouver coming mm-hmm. in as well. We've got Kinamaki Palettes again. Mm. We've got Sugar Rush from Alberta. Mm. And then I think Barry is going to mm-hmm. be there. Barry from
L.A.
L.A., mm-hmm. yeah, who is traveling all over the place all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. Well, as we wrap up the show today, you know, as always, I'm very grateful for your time today. And it's always exciting to see what you're doing. I'm looking forward to more songs, more KIP, and hopefully, venues, please let them perform. And then, of course, also, you know, more performances. So catch Not Sweet at your local Idol event coming up very soon. And for people who can't catch Majiawa on January 4th, how can they keep up with you?
You can follow us on our Instagram, any other social media. We are under nonsweet_CA. And we also are on YouTube as well. That's nonsweet.
Also nonsweet_CA.
Nose TV. Nonsweet TV.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be on social media that you use. We're constantly uploading stuff. And if you like our music, we're also on all the music streaming devices. Platforms. And Apple Music, Spotify, anything that you subscribe to. So if you like our music and like our work, please subscribe. Listen to our music.
Yes. Watch our music video and also save reset button to your playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good track. I hope you enjoyed it earlier, and we're going to listen to one last non-sweet track today.
Check out more great CJSF programming. Listen to Analog Archives every Thursday from 6 to 7 with your host, Danny. He goes through the physical library of the CJSF music archives, and it is vast. It's like hundreds, if not thousands, but he goes through a bunch of it, listens to it, shares it with you. If you like interesting music such as non-sweet and idol music, and you like being exposed to new stuff, even old new stuff, stuff that you've just never listened to before, Analog Archives is the place to go. Check it out Thursdays from 6 to 7 in the evening here on 90.1 FM, CJSF.
As we wrap up the show, thank you so much for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I've been Leslie.
And this was Nansui.
Hooray. And our final track today is called World's Friend by Nansui. I hope you enjoy it, and I will talk to you again very soon.
At dawn, five girls prepare for the ultimate takeoff. Their mission is to discover the long-lost world's friend. With the universe as their limit, they're destined to shatter all borders. But they'll need power from all of you to unite this world. Once and for all, for the good of mankind, something must be done. Are you ready? Go, Nansui! Go, Nansui! Every day the same old thing. Live every day like it's your last. When it gets hard, I start to wonder what if this is all for nothing. Maybe you're with me, still waiting to be seen. 私と同じで動けないな. Come on, follow my lead. Combine our energy. And there's the rainbow line. But the will always shine bright. J'ai tant pris. だからもっともっと私たちノンスピード地球アイドルボーイグル When we hit the stage Prepare to be amazed 海外アドパレス Because you're with me Now keep your eyes on me こっちにおいで